Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English, from tactical analysis to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be bringing you guys all the latest news in regards to Las Águilas del América. And then, of course, we're going to get you guys all ready for the matchup against Santos Laguna on Saturday as well. So we got plenty to talk about here, a lot to get through, and hopefully along the way we find some optimism for this team. And joining me to do so in search of that optimism, it is none other than Mr. Chris Rivera. How you doing, man?
Good. Let's hope we do find that optimism, because I think we're probably too very negative people when it comes to this sports stuff. But hey, man, like you said, let's find that optimism, and hopefully the optimism actually works this season, right? Because there's been a lot of downs and a lot of bad news and whatnot. Even though, you know, the high has helped, right? From all of this, it helps that you know, we've seen worse days than what we currently are living through with America.
Absolutely, but it feels like it's been the darkest of times in such a long time for Las Águilas del América, and it's not just one thing, right? It's not like a single factor that you can kind of just be like, well, if only we fix this, all our problems would be solved. It's a multitude of factors that you just feel like, you really do feel like everything's going up against you at this point in the season. But let's get into that. Let's talk specifically in regards to America and the news that we have coming out of Coapa. But before we do so, I just want to give a huge shout out to AJ and the ladies who are playing tonight against San Diego. So the ladies are out here in California. So if you guys prefer to go watch that instead of watching this on the live show, we won't by any means would think otherwise. Go watch the actual America side that's actually winning and doing things good. But yeah, shout out to the ladies who look like hopefully they can get a good result tonight against San Diego. And if you're listening to this post live show, then you guys would have already known the show. So, I mean, the result after the show. So let's get it cracking here. All right, AP Jr. saying, let's go. He's excited that hopefully about, I don't know if he's excited about the podcast being on or the ladies playing, but maybe it's both. Maybe it's both. But back to the kind of what I was mentioning in regards to just this gray cloud looming over America and Coapa, Chris. The latest news coming out today is that there's reports of Álvaro Fidalgo being injured. Now, this isn't 100% confirmed because the club hasn't come out with an actual, you know, tweet with that that graphic that has haunted us this whole season, right? The medical graphic. So they haven't officially came out and diagnosed and said what Fidalgo has. But who was it? Julio Ibáñez came out and said that, you know, Fidalgo went down with an injury and he should be out for at least a week's time, which is against obviously Santos this weekend, and then you have a Tijuana midweek.
Yeah.
So that is the news being reported out right now. Chris, I mean, it's Julio Ibáñez. He's probably the closest person in Coapa, out of all the reporters, I would say, to kind of the institution and to these players. I'm assuming that this should be like about like 99% true or somewhere in the 90s where you think, yeah, this is terrible. This sucks, and it's just probably a matter of fact until America comes out with that tweet.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine him lying, right? Something serious, and he's also known for breaking bad news, right? We're linked to someone, and he's the first one to say, "Oh, that's not true. That's not true." So, big blow, man. It's very depressing. I think we all had the same reaction. We all fell to our knees in the at Walmart or whatever, whatever the joke is. But yeah, very devastating loss. Very, you know, I think people will sit here and say it's Cholos, it's Santos, but you can't even. And say that at this point of the season anymore, right?
No.
If something goes wrong, they're gonna exploit that, and you know, it's just a huge loss, and it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, and not much so necessarily. Not to say that this injury is the one that is the one that's felt the most across out of all the injuries we've had. It just feels like America just can't seem to catch a break, you know. And I think that's the most devastating part. Is you feel like you're building something, there's some traction. Obviously, it was Fecha FIFA, but the big thing was you're coming off a good, decent victory against Chivas in this friendly. And so you think, okay, morale boost. That was obviously the huge concern, and the biggest thing was that, you know, El Búfalo Aguirre was stretched off the pitch. And so that didn't look either good either. I mean, the good news is that he's training, and it looks like he might possibly be able to feature on Saturday, so it's not the worst condemning news. But on top of that, you add the fact that Fidalgo is going to be out for at least a week's time. But with America, you just know that they're not going to risk these players, so it's not a week's an injury that's going to keep you out a week. You feel like this is going to be an injury that's going to take at least 2 weeks, and then maybe he'll feature on the bench in this next game after that. So yeah, it's frustrating all around. You just can't seem to catch a break, and like I was telling you, like I'm honestly just trying to find some bit of like faith and hope to continue the season. But it just, you know, at one point Dylan even said, let's just throw the season away at this point. Like what's even worth it at the end of the day? And I'm not saying let's throw in the towel, by no means necessary. Of course, we're America, we can't do that. We're obligated to win, even if it's all youngsters. But it just feels very draining right now if you're an Americanista. Like there's no such thing as good news. It's just nothing but injuries at this point.
Yeah, I actually see people on Twitter say, hey, you know, like we have more important tournaments next season, like, you know, Champions Cup and whatnot. Like why risk anything that could be more long term, right? We see Igor's out. And then if you kind of put in players that are not 100%, you might, you know, make it even worse. I think, you know, the front office is to really sit down and have a conversation about depth and really have a conversation about who they're bringing in and why they're bringing in and really question things, right? Because I think me and you have really been vocal about stuff like that. I think, you know, I think sometimes Baños can be very cheap. Right, like if you're investing on a young player, for example, right? Mm-hmm. But they're asking too much. Well, you got to ask yourself: is that a investment better than a cheap option that I'm going to bring in that won't pay off in the long term, right? And I think that's kind of where we're seeing right now. I think Cervantes, for example, right? You ship off Naveda because he wants more minutes, and he's getting that minutes over there at Santos, but you bring in Cervantes and you bring in Jefecito, and they're really here for these emergency moments, right? And they're not, or at least not Cervantes, right? Jefecito hasn't had the opportunity to really showcase, and now you're having Cervantes put in there, and he's not living up to the standards, right? So, to me, I think the front office, because you're not going to fire anybody because of this. Like, let's be honest, right? You're not. You're just not going to fire anyone. I think Baños has had worse, way worse seasons.
Yeah.
To where he should have been gone and he wasn't gone. So for me to sit here and say, oh, he's going to leave now, I don't think he'll leave. Jardines probably safe because of the CONCACAF Campeones or the Campeones Cup. You know, I think that gave him a leash. I think they're probably saying, you know what? This season isn't a waste because we won that. And I don't think the players are necessarily in the hot seat either, because they're probably saying, look, I'm trying to go out there and play, and I'm not, you know? So
yeah.
Well, and I know some people might be disagreeing with all that, but I do think it is one of those things where the front office is probably going to have to just look at everything very different, you know, because obviously I'm not looking at it as defeat. You still have to go out there and play. And best case scenario, we win the next two games. We hit into that Monterrey game kind of saying we're banged up, but we won these two games and we could breathe now. But at the same time, you have to just look at it from a competitive standpoint, right? A lot of people will sit here and say, well, put in the academy players, right? I think the academy players have shown that they're not even competing with some, or not, I'm not going to generalize it. I don't know. I think we would both agree that there has been academy players that probably do deserve to play more. But I think generally, I don't think academy players have shown like, hey, I could beat out a Alan Cervantes, you know, or I can't beat out a Jevesito. I can't beat out these players that are struggling really badly. And it's all in training, you know, and you see the results in the academy, right? And they're not doing good there either. So just imagine facing professionals who have the experience. So it's a tough situation, right? There's a lot that needs to be cleaned up, you know, but it's not an exaggeration of a rebuild either. It's just one of those things where it's like, all right, new people need to come into this academy and develop these players. And we need to do a better job with these depth signings that are not coming in and being at least good enough, you know?
I agree, absolutely. I think that, you know, the board is going to have to, the front office, excuse me, is going to have to sit down and analyze this season. And obviously you chuck a couple of things to just bad luck with the fact that you have so many injuries and, you know, it's unfortunate the way that things have fallen for America. But at the same time, I think that they have to own up to some responsibility that they didn't reinforce this team. One, the way that Jardine wanted, and two, kind of in the most soundest of ways when it comes to not just depth, because you can throw in a bunch of players and call that depth, but I think the quality of depth, I think, is the importance that we lack at this moment. You know, and AP Jr. vocalizing the fact that, you know, he's very pro anti Baños. And I think a lot of people are. And I mean, it's kind of been the general theme of Baños with America in his second spell, right? This time as president, that things have just not flown well and been well with kind of his decision making. And, you know, we talk about him kind of being a little cheap. And at one point he had to be, right? Because America's financials weren't sustainable in that sense, right? We were kind of a little bit in a hole, and things have turned around since then. And America should not be cheap at this point. America doesn't have an excuse in the financial department that they no longer have funds to do what your Tigres and your Monterreys are doing. They have the money for it. You won money for winning the Clausura. You won money from the Apertura. You won money from Campeón de Campeones. You won money from the Campeones Cup. You won money for being the best team in the league. Don't forget that there was like a $1 million prize.
I think they won money off of League's Cup too.
Yeah, so I mean, the resource and the financial backing is there, you know? And on top of that, whatever you want to sum up to in regards to the stock market, right? Whatever money is coming in from that department as well. I know that ticket sales have been plummeting drastically, and that maybe is hurting at least the budget of what they thought was going to be the case for this season come around. But I still don't think that's enough to burn such a deep hole in your pockets that you can't somehow find a way to excel in the financial department. And of course, you're America. You're always going to get taxed for being the big club. So you're going to have to spend a little bit more money if you want to get the players that you want to get. This is the reality it is. I mean, Bicampeón coming in for a player is not going to be able to get him for like 10-20% off. Like, they're going to add that 10-20% to the sale tax. So you just have to be smart and know that these are the things. But that's when the team that's dedicated to analyzing and finding the right players and saying, look, you're going to spend the next amount of money for this guy, but this guy's going to be the guy, you know? And so we need to find a way to refine ourselves in that department. And I think you brought up something that was great, you know, and something that's overlooked and has been overlooked for so many years is the academy. You know, we're now being forced to use our own product, and we're not really liking the results. We're not really liking what we're seeing, right? There's maybe two names out there that could potentially be Club America-esque players, right? And that's Isco. And it's looking like Miguel could be one of those players.
Dagoberto, too.
And Dagoberto as well. Fair. I'm sorry, there's three. You're right. And obviously, the best one that's probably looked is Dagoberto. Can't believe I forgot him. But yeah.
And he didn't even develop in our recent year. We sent him to Belgium. Like, remember that? He was in Belgium getting developed, you know?
I think it's going to be interesting. But AP Jr. put in a really good comment here saying, hear me out. It's time to rebuild in every way. President, coaches, obviously except Harine, bringing coaches with pro experience in the lower categories and first team players too. I'm so sorry, but it's time to be great. And look, I'm not saying that AP Jr. is 100% right or 100% wrong. I think that, yeah, he's right that there is a need to freshen things up. I don't think we need a completely restructure. But the truth is, yeah, like you mentioned, Chris, there's things that we have to look at with a little bit more of a fine-tooth comb over it, because maybe we're blindsided by the fact that we won back-to-back championships and tagline three more titles after that. So yeah, I mean, it's gonna be an interesting off season. Not so much winter, because it's just such a quick turnaround until the next tournament starts. But I think next summer will be interesting regarding on how the second half of this soccer calendar year goes for America.
It might really depend also when we get eliminated. You know, I think they're very little optimism, right? We kind of, that's kind of the theme of this, right? Optimism. We want to be optimistic, but at the same time, we're kind of seeing like,
I mean, you look what you just said right now. You said when we get eliminated.
yeah. No. But I just say it like, let's say we do win the championship, right? Let's say we do. Well, a lot of the stuff we went through, it kind of gets erased, right? It kind of gets, we brush it off. And you're not really thinking about next season. You're kind of just saying, all right, we became champion. Now we're going on the fourth. And we're probably going to deal with the same issues. Maybe not. I don't know, right? But let's say it becomes a very negative result, right? Where we're out of here very early. Well, it is the winter transfer. It is the transfer for the winter, right? But you're starting very early. And so in that case, I do expect, you know, not necessarily the clean house, but I do expect, like, all right, there's players out there that you could definitely bring in. And there's definitely some impact players, right? In league, outside the league, you know. Now, if we were to be like I said, we make it to the final, we win, we don't, but we make it to the final, then I do agree with you. It'll be one of those situations where it's like, it's too short of a moment. We're probably going to drag this all the way to February, you know, when the window's starting to close and whatnot. And it's just... It, like at some point, you know, like I said, we're talking about our front office, right? At some point, they're going to have to think, is this team good enough? Or is this team good enough, but they just dealt with injuries? Or there is stuff that we really need to fix, right? And I guess that really depends on coaching and the front office to really sit here and analyze, right?
Yeah, but I think anyone with a little bit of knowledge and a real focus on this team could tell you that it's a little bit of both, right? And that's going to be the interesting thing about it, is how do they deal with that specifically. AP Jr. is probably misinterpreting me when I said Isco, saying Isco's too old, saying we should have a limit on an age gap of 30 years old. AP Jr., I wasn't talking specifically about Isco, the ex-Real Madrid player. I was talking about Isco Ramirez, the youngster. That is,
we should probably call him Miguel.
Yeah.
We should probably call him Miguel Ramirez. But
yeah, we probably should call him Miguel Ramirez. But everyone calls him Isco on Twitter too. So hopefully that clears things up. I'm not saying we need to go sign Isco. I definitely think that'll be a waste of money, and a waste of wages.
Well, that's a good debate, because I think there's going to be a Diego Valdez conversation that we might have sooner than later.
He's definitely on the radar. Ritual coming into the chat saying Jovaito and Borja need to go. Maybe a little bit harsh on Jovaito. I can see why the Borja.
I agree with Borja. I agree with Borja. Should never been signed. Came. If I'm being honest with you. But.
Look, I think
yeah. And his contract is big. His contract is big too. So that's a guy that's gonna last here for a fat minute, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, and look, it's not to say that he can't turn things around, obviously. I think the thing is, when America's playing good, and America was playing good last season, we kind of let slide some of the players that weren't necessarily contributing or looking that great, right? Because they get carried by the result at the end of the day. When things are looking the way that they're looking right now for America, it's obviously a lot easier to isolate these players that aren't maybe necessarily playing so well and maybe carry a little bit of that blame to them. And rightfully so, right? I mean, you go out there and you're supposed to play a good game in order to help your team win. But at the moment right now, the way things stand, a lot of people are under the microscope. For America, and you know, Jovaito's one of them.
I want to know what's funny. When we won in 2018, we kind of had a very similar situation. It wasn't because of injuries, though. But remember, all these players left to Europe, right? Marchesin, Edson, Lainez, Guido,
Uribe.
Uribe, right? And you kind of start to see all these players that were kind of like dragging, right? Roger Martinez. Some players became older, right? Like Peralta and Paul Aguilar, you know, Bruno, you know, stuff like that. The players just, you know, it's not necessarily the same thing that we're kind of dealing with now, but you are kind of like looking at certain players and saying, well, when is it your turn to leave? Because you're not necessarily bringing anything to the table, right? Richard Sanchez, right? I wasn't, to me, when he started to get benched or drawn out and we started winning these championships, right? That kind of told me, like, you know what? Like, he's not the guy that we kind of thought he was. And now, for me, it's like, it's only a matter of time when he leaves. And I've been kind of predicting it every season. Oh, he's going to leave now, and he doesn't leave. And I'm not necessarily saying he's a useless player, because I do think he has his moments, but I do think it becomes one of those, like, you sub him in, you already know what you're getting. And we kind of need that some explosion, right? Something fresh to come out of that. And when he starts, it's just the same thing, right? He could give us a goal from long distance here and there, but it's just like, well, when is that? It's not consistent enough, you know. So I agree with you. You know, it's a very similar feeling to that 2018-2019 season.
Yeah, and now that you mentioned Richard, I had seen something, nothing confirmed by any reputable source that I could see, like a Caballero or a Julio Ibanez, but there was reports saying that Richard Sanchez left training early as well because of a muscle injury. That wasn't something from like a super credible source that he's 100% there all the time. So I take that with a grain of salt. But again, I don't think anyone's kind of scratching their head over Richard Sanchez and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, another one. But it is still in the sense of, great, another injury. I think the thing with Richard Sanchez is, I think you have to look at it. It feels like it's going to be another Roger-type situation in where no one's going to want him because of his high wages, right? The issue isn't offloading him for a price. I think the issue is going to be offloading him for wages, because he's making really good money with America. And no one's just going to come in and be like, hey, we're going to pay you the same or more, you know?
No, this isn't an... So let's talk about that, right? This isn't an old issue, right? This hasn't been a theme that we couldn't sell players. Why is it that nowadays... nobody wants a player, not because of the player, but because of the wages, right? Roger Martinez, okay, I kind of understand, right? Because Villarreal owned like 50% of his card, right? So the negotiations there was kind of like, well, we value him at a certain point, and you're gonna have to pay this. And then, his contract itself was very bad. But why is it nowadays that you kind of hear like Richard, right? I do expect them to be paid good, but it's not. I wouldn't say it's like crazy either, right? Why is it that we can't load up? Is it that we overvalue these players when we sign them because we're America, or is it simply other teams are just becoming super poor and we're too rich that now we can't get rid of this player because of that, because it's like, well, we're overvaluing their contract because we can, and other teams can't afford them, so we win these negotiations when we sign them. Well, what is it? Like, well, what, why is it not, why is now the issue for stuff like that? But back then it was like super, super easy, right? The players have their high wages and we still could send them elsewhere. Now it's like we can't. It's just, they have high wages. You advance to become a free agent, and that's it.
I think it's a little bit of both of what you said. Maybe a little bit more geared towards the fact that we just pay a little bit more than we need to. But granted, look, whenever Richard signed a contract extension with America, he was playing good. He was a starter. Like, he looked like he was going to be the future center midfielder of America going forward, Mind you, he came in with Piojo and he looked like he was gonna be that suitable Uribe replacement, right? Looked well in that America side where we went to the final and played against Monterrey. So he looked like, he was gonna be a suitable player. He was still young at the time,
But
so we felt.
how long ago was that? That's the thing, it's like
Yeah,
we're
no,
talking
I agree, but
2008,
that's when he
19,
was.
right?
Yeah, that's when he was starting to become more of the player that you saw. Okay, he could be something. And so I guess it's one of those things, like in football, you take a risk. You should be perfectly well aware of this. I mean, Chelsea's doing this right now, right? They're taking big risk with these youngsters, giving them lucrative contracts, knowing,
But
whether or not
even
they're going to be.
then, like even then they're capable of selling players. Like a
Yeah,
lot of
well,
people
because it's
kind of,
different. I mean, it's a lot easier for that player to be like, okay, I'm gonna lower my wages a little bit and go play and still play prestige European competition, right? Rather than Richard's gonna be like, yeah, I'm gonna lower my wages and go live in Aguascalientes and play for Necaxa. Like it's a certain lifestyle
right.
balance here that you have to take in consideration. And I think that's something that we ultimately forget that, it's ultimately the player's choice to want to reduce their wages or not. Some people will, and some people will be like, yeah, I want to play. I want minutes. I want to be showcased because I want to keep playing for my national team. Yada, yada, yada. For some, they're like, I'm making good money here. Why am I gonna say yes to lowering wages when I'm good here? I'm comfortable here. And then I can start planning the future after X amount of years. So
You know what America needs to start doing? They need to tell them, we're not registering you. You can leave on loan if you need to, but because I think it also has to become stuff like that, right? Where it's like you negotiate with a team and say, look, we'll send them on loan, but obligation to buy. You have to buy them. And the player could be like, you know what, I like it over here, or I'm forced to, whatever. But I think players want to play, right? And if you kind of say, you're going to say, well, so you're going to just say you're going to receive that check. I don't think that any player will sit there and just accept that. I really do believe that. And I think America, like, to me, is it a Baños? I don't know who does the contract, by the way. So I don't know if it's a Baños issue. It could be someone else. I know there's a lot of people in the front office. But it does start to question where it's like I hear sometimes that we signed someone from South America back in the day, not necessarily now, but you hear it's like they're paying you, they're getting paid three times more than they were getting paid. Like, is three times more really necessary? Like, why can't it just be 10 times more? Why does it have to be three times more? Why does it be 10 times more?
Yeah.
And we're bringing these like these prospects that you see in MLS, right? I usually bash at MLS for their bad play and all that, but you kind of look at their youngsters that they sign, and they're all joyas from like Argentina, Brazil, or Paraguay, whatever. Even from the UK, right, from Europe. And they're bringing in these youngsters that are 18, 19, But it's like the idea, like, okay, like European teams wanted these players. We got them. We're going to develop them, and we're going to sell them for like 30 million, you know? Like that, in that sense, I understand when you overpay a player, right? But it's like you're bringing in kind of like average players, or not average players, they're best players in their league, but it's like you're overinvesting, in my opinion, you know? So then you bring them in, and now they don't want to leave, or they can't leave because it's like you overvalue them. Like when Richard came, did you really look at him and say, oh, he's going to Europe? Like, I don't know if we, you know, maybe in
There was a
hindsight,
time
right?
when
But
it was talked about.
yeah, I guess you're right. I guess this is, you know, like I said, in hindsight, you probably say no, but it's like at some point it was a conversation, and now you're kind of stuck. You know, was it a bad investment? Was it a good investment? Like, I don't even know how old he was when he got here, but it feels a lot like forever ago. You know,
Yeah, he was young in
and
his
you've
20s.
talked about it yourself. You talked
Yeah,
about it yourself
yeah.
too when it came to investment. Said, you know, we're buying players who, yeah, obviously perform, but we're trying to make that money back. That's why you don't sign 30 players, 30 year old player, right?
No, yeah, absolutely. And AP Jr. is agreeing with you at the sense of saying, look, we got to give him an ultimatum, kind of like what you were
Exactly.
mentioning. And I'm sure that there's negotiation tactics that could work in America's favor. It's just, have we explored them? Do we need to bring in someone that's more kind of well versed in that and can kind of guide us in that direction? It's not to say that America has a bunch of dead weight and we just can't ship off players because of high salaries and stuff like that. I think there's just maybe two, three players that we would think like, okay, they need to go, but the wages are kind of iffy, right? I think Richard's one. Obviously, Nesser Araujo was another one. And then after that, I mean, you could chuck it up to somebody else. But the reality is that yeah, America is going to be in a tricky situation come this January transfer window. I 100% believe we veered off course of talking about injuries, and now we're over here already talking about transfers and not being able to offload
It's
anybody.
a deep conversation, man. I think it's not, it's like, well, you and I understand the injuries, right? But it is a conversation where you've said it before, and I don't necessarily disagree with you with the whole no excuses. I get where you're coming from, but there's also a reality where you have to look at these players and say, well, no excuses, but are these players good enough, right? Because you look at I'll highlight the players that we brought in. You look at Alan Cervantes, a Borja, right? And you look at Jefecito or Aguirre and Chiquito Sanchez. You look at these players and you said, where do they fit? Because that's the conversation you and I and Christian have when we're on this podcast and we're talking, oh, this guy arrived. Well, how do they fit? Do we like it because of the fit? Do we sometimes we're proven wrong, right? You and I weren't necessarily that happy or that hype with Quintero, right? With you, with the Quintero, with Quiñones,
Quiñones.
my bad.
Everyone was
Quiñones.
hyped about Quintero.
Yeah, Quintero, yeah. But Quiñones, you and I were very, very like, I don't know how he fits. He play more of a second striker with Atla. We don't play that system. He comes in and he performs, right? Obviously, you were very critical with how he performed, but nonetheless, he scored
But yeah,
goals, he performed,
he
right?
still put up the numbers at the end of the day.
Yeah. And now you look at other players and you start questioning, you know, like there's some players that you plug in and you say, okay, I understand. It's like Davila, for example. I kind of said, you know what, he's a perfect fit because he's not necessarily a winger. We don't necessarily play with wingers. We play with cams that play that are they're more like cams, right, on the wings. And Sendejas is more of a camish player. Quiñones, same thing. They're not necessarily stereotypical wingers, right? So you look at these players, and that's the reason why we're having this conversation, because we're just saying, you know, you should be able to just plug in a player to the system, because I've said it before, Jardines' game isn't an individual game. It's a system thing. You plug in this player, and he should be able to perform just like the starter. Maybe not to the same level, but perform, right?
Yeah,
We're
and
not
the
having that, right? We're
no.
not having that. So that's why we're having this conversation where it's like, well, injuries are very key. But the next man up should be able to just fit in there because it's a system thing, you know? So that's what we're having this conversation about, transfer, front office, all that, because it's obviously you start to question, well, why does this guy come in if he's not even fitting the role, and you have to change formation? So we're sitting here arguing about, oh, why is they playing with a fat back line? Whoa, brother, this we lost this guy. Whoa, we shouldn't do that, right? And then it's like, we're here back and forth, and it's very draining, very dragging. But you know, you get what I mean, right?
Yeah, yeah. It just feels like, I mean, at the end of the day, this is gonna be just a complacent season by the looks of it. And I mean, we'll see. But you're right in the sense that, you know, depth wise, we should have been somehow stronger than last season. Yet we've downgraded substantially. So of course, I know I see where the kind of the tangent came from in that sense. But yeah, I mean, the reality is that America continues to be in a tricky situation, and when you think, you know, can't get any worse, somehow it magically does. So that is the unfortunate part. But you know, let's talk reality, right? You mentioned it. You talked about how this is not getting any better and how we're having to switch to this formation, that formation, and you know, this player stepping up isn't good enough, coming off the bench. Knowing where we are, the reality of it, and seeing just the amount of players that have been out due to injury, and now you see the list grow. Is Fidalgo's injury the straw that broke the camel's back, in the sense that, do you think at this point, in this stage in time, as we're recording and talking, and I'm gonna ask a big ask of you to talk for all Americanistas, do you think that it is okay at this point now that we would all be eased out in saying that, well, if America doesn't win this team campeonato, then it is what it is? But
no. I won't even let you finish.
Do you still have faith in this team winning the three campeonato? It's not broken leg and everything.
Yeah. It's not necessarily faith. It's a moral. We're Americanistas, right? You want me to speak for everybody, right? Everybody, the expectation is still the same. I could sit here and argue with you about reality, right? I could sit here and say, brother, it's okay. We can't win them all, right? Reality, we can't win them all. You know, it would be suspicious if we win them all. But that's when the people are going to be like, oh, we got to buy everything,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But we're winning every other time. So reality, we can't win them all. But
can, like, we, I win told this you during one? League's Cup.
But like I told you, like in League's Cup, all I ask me personally is go out there fighting. And if you're asking me that this team could at least go out there fighting, if we could fight, we could win. And yes, like you said, all these injuries, all these things, all this, whatever, I get it. But it's still 11 versus 11, right? It's still professional versus professional. Dardinen has to stop overthinking sometimes. And sit here and say, you know what, this player needs to go, you know, because I think he overthinks stuff. When you look at the five back line, I tell you and Christian, I don't have an issue with it. But yes, you're right. There's no progress movement, right? And that's more of a, well, you need to work it. You need to find a way, right? If you're going to play that five, you need to find how to make those wing backs run up. If it's actually a five, because there's times where you see it at more of a three. You three see center backs covering the, you know, you see the three center backs, you see the wing backs all the way up. So, no, whatever we have out there, we got to find a way to go out there and be in front. And I think, like I said, no excuses at that point. Again, you want me to speak for the Americanismo? There's no excuses, because if you have a starter out there, right? Let's say Henry Martin. There's a lot of people criticizing him, saying, oh, he went goals this season. He still has 5 goals and 2 assists, right? That's very good for Liga Mexicana. Okay, if he's out there, I'm expecting more goals. Diego Valdez, if he's out there, I'm expecting more. If whoever that starter is, brother, you've watched European ball and you've seen one player completely. What did we see yesterday, bro? Mexico didn't play in anything spectacular, but you saw one player carry the team on their back and do a lot of things on attack. You know, Raul Jimenez, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you watched the game, but everyone was hyped. Everyone was, you know, happy for him because he was performing at a high level. Now, we just need a player like that where he says, I'm going to get the ball and I'm just going to do everything, because we haven't had that one-sided performance in a long time. I really can't even remember the last time. The one that comes to my head was Mika Arroyo back in the day, right? Where he would score these free kicks, or he would do all these 1v1s on the wing and take on the fullback. We need performances like that. We need someone to sit here and say, you know what? I'm gonna carry this team. And that's, you know, regardless of the starting 11, I think that's what we need. So if you're asking me what my expectations are, if I'm okay with, no, I'm not necessarily okay. There's reality, right? And there's stuff that we're going to talk about after the results. But before the results, you got to sit here and say, all right, we don't have this, we don't have that, but we have this. This guy needs to perform, this guy needs to do that. And if that goes on, we could win that game. You can't look at it from a whole perspective, right? You can't look at it as, oh man, but we got so-and-so in 2 weeks. No, we got to look at it each game at a time at this point. And we got to find how to, because every team has a different weakness, and we got to be that team that beats every team differently.
Well, I think you did it, Chris. I think you found that optimism we were looking for. So
I sound like a cheerleader, but hey, man.
Just, but I'll take it. I'll take it. We need to find it from somewhere. Look, the season is far from over, but it does feel like a heavy one. It does feel like a dreading one, and at some point never ending because of the way that things have piled up and stacked up for America. But again, it's not because I'm trying to make an excuse for this team. By no means necessary. I just go back to just a couple of episodes. I'm bashing this team. I'm you know, heavily criticizing that's the way that they're playing and why they're not performing better. I understand that there's injuries. I understand that there's, you know, absences and this and that and the things that have stacked over America. But at the end of the day, we are America, and we don't have luxuries to be like, oh, woe is me. I have 10 players out. The expectation is, well, you got 10 other players that you can bring in, so get the job done. To some people, that may seem outlandish. To some people, it may sound just right for a big club. But it's just the reality that we live in, and that is what America is all about. And talking about taking it one game at a time, let's talk about that specifically. One game at a time. And the first game coming up is Santos Laguna. A game in where I think a lot of us, when we were looking at this in the calendar, were thinking, okay, they're coming in badly bruised themselves. They're going through a rough patch, and they're going through something. But now you understand that there's even more of an injury crisis going on with America, and the fact that Santos always finds a way to show up against America, you just feel that this game, it might be one of those, you know, a little bit of a back and forth, in the sense of like, okay, who's gonna deal the final blow? Will it be America? Will it be Santos? And I think it's going to be a tricky matchup. I don't think it's going to be as easy as some people try to paint it on paper, just because of Santos' situation. I know that they're in last place, right? So they're...
Ooh, I want to see Puebla. Is,
oh, no, you're right.
Puebla beat us, huh?
Well, mind you, yeah. Oh, then Puebla's out here fighting with coach and players.
Last place is Santos.
All right, look, see, Santos. But then again, six Santos points only separate us. So it's not a world of a difference, right? You're not trying to paint the picture that America's in first place in comparison to Santos, who's in last. I mean, it's still 10th versus 18th. I get it, there's a gap, but it's nothing, you know, drastic in that sense. But look, America needs points. America needs to start scaling the table. And, you know, if it has to be with an ugly win against Santos, then so be it. Obviously, we're not going to get the most lucrative starting 11 because we don't have all these good players available to our disposal. Last we heard was that Henry and Aguirre were the two that looked like the most plausible to be back from that injury list. Cáceres still looks like he's going to be out. Néstor Araujo looks like he's going to be out. And then who's the other injury besides Fidalgo?
Who did you name? Richard has a red card. Cáceres is out.
Wait, didn't Richard already serve his one game suspension against Leon?
I thought he got it against Leon.
Did Did he?
Am I tripping?
I don't.
Hold on. He got it against Pumas? Was it against Pumas? Hold on, let me check
that. It was.
It was against.
It was against
Pumas. Yeah, it was against Pumas. You're right. Against Leon, he already served it. So he.
Yeah.
But if he's injured.
The rumor is that he's injured.
He's injured, so.
But look, the something that me and Chris were talking about in regards to this game is that I know we've all talked about it, and we all definitely do not like it, but that back five looks to be a running theme that América is going to have to use, maybe up to the end of the season, which is crazy to me. But yeah, I feel like there's just no other viable option, but América is going to have to play the back five. That defense is probably going to look Ramon Juarez, Miguel Vasquez, and Calderon on the center back partner role, and then Borja on the left fullback, and then Dagoberto or Kevin, who looked pretty good
against Chivas. I think Kevin has looked really good. I think he needs to play.
But I think it might be Dagoberto just because we need to start covering minutes. And if you're gonna have Miguel out there, you might as well have Dagoberto, and you're a lot closer to wrapping it up. Either or though. But if it is Kevin, cool. I think he's picking up form. And
Israel Reyes could be another center back too, by the way.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he's back. Yes. Forget Calderon. Or maybe Calderon plays on the full on the wing back position. Although I don't think a lot of us really like him going forward as much as Borja. But again, we'll see. It could be either or. In the midfield, I saw a very interesting tweet. Someone saying that they should just put Miguel Ramirez, a.k.a. Isco, with Jonah Dos Santos and I think it was Alan Cervantes. Not too sure. And then, of course, up top.
What is it? It's a 5-3-2, right? Would it's going to be a 5-3-2. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, it's going to be a 5-3-2.
Okay. You know what I think? We should put Sendejas there.
Yeah, I can see that.
Sendejas plays in. He's not necessarily playing wide. You could put in Isco could be ahead of him. Sendejas could be more of a tracking back. You have Jonah doing what he does, right?
Yeah, the
anchor. That's what I would do.
Then, up top, who do you put? Let's just say Henry's fine, right? Because he's, I think, the one that's the closest to coming back. Say Henry's fine. Do you pair him up with Diego Valdez? Do you pair him up with Ilian Hernandez?
I'm not starting Diego Valdez.
So you don't start him? So do you put Victor Davila with Henry?
You could put Victor Davila. You could play a second striker. Yeah. But I do think it's going to be Aguirre. I think it's Aguirre because I think you're going
to... Well, if they're both healthy, I think I would be ideal. But yeah. I think one of them sees the bench.
Then I'd go with Victor Davila.
He's more Ryan of a second Rodriguez strike. Is the other one that's out. Sorry. Go.
Okay, you're right. Ryan Rodriguez. Yeah. Ryan Rodriguez.
Oh. Yeah, he's out.
I would put Victor Davila over Valdez. I think Valdez probably has a bigger impact as a sub anyways. At this point of the season, I think you kind of seen too much of him, and he's not necessarily giving you as much. And injuries as well. I think him and Henry are two players that you're just looking at. Like, there's going to be a moment where you're going to get hurt. And while I don't wish it, it's kind of likely. And I don't know if Valdez has gotten hurt this season. He did, right?
Yeah,
he got hurt. He's already been injured.
Yeah, he's been injured
already. I would rest him up and have him more ready for the Monterrey game next weekend.
Yeah.
Me personally.
Yeah, because you have to also look at it. It's going to be such a short turnaround because you're going to go and then you have to go travel to Tijuana not too later on in the week, play that midweek matchup, then travel back home and start focusing on Monterrey.
And I think Davila needs to adapt faster. He hasn't been playing bad, but I think you kind of have to get him going now. And I think this is probably a good game to get him going.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think this could be his game, honestly. If he starts, which I think he should, if you don't want to risk neither one or the other, obviously Davila starts. So I'm hopeful that hopefully if he does, he can kind of be that difference maker, the one that you've been calling for to kind of have that individual brilliance and that individual moment. Hopefully it is him. Well, you know, he hopefully can take this game and put it...
Is Chiquito Sánchez back?
You know
Chiquito Sánchez back?
You mentioned him, but I haven't heard anything in regards to him.
Because he had appendix.
Yeah.
But like that, he wasn't injured.
Was that it was going to be like a month's recovery. And I think we're barely on completing that month. So I don't think he's yet kind of in the realm of, oh,
he went to Houston, though. He went to Houston, though. I don't know if he played. I don't think he played. But
no, I don't even think he was on the bench.
Yeah, he went to Houston, so I would assume he's game ready. I don't know.
Well, let's see. Let's see. We'll see if he makes the call up list. But I hadn't seen anything in regards to that. Yeah. Ultimately, look, it's looking like it could be a proper performance put in by these players. It's just, can they find a way to move forward, have an outlet, look aggressive, find opportunities, not just so much playing on the counter? Because let's be honest, Santos is not going to come into the Estadio Ciudad de los Deportes and try to take the game to us. Like, the reality is we have to take the game to them. They're going to try to do the counterattack. They're going to be the ones to try to nip a goal against us, against the run of play. America can't resort himself to that, right? The only reason we're playing this formation is because, well, we really couldn't have any other way around it. So let's see if America is able to kind of grow and you know, use this game as, and I know I feel like I've been saying this all season long, but use this game as to like as a catalyst to kind of propel the team moving forward in the season. Because again, time and time again, we've mentioned it so many times on the podcast, is it's not so much as how you start, but how you finish the season with Liga MX. And if America can get on a good run, get a good performance, even if it's not with the best players, you know, momentum and confidence can go a long way. And you'd expect that America is able to keep that fire, that candle burning, just long enough to get them through a deep run in the playoffs. And so it's got to start here, Chris. I mean, I know we've said it before against many other teams and many other games, but you truly feel like if there was one opponent that it had to be, it you know, just with the circumstances that they're coming in with, it would have to be Santos.
There has to be a game where you finally get that breathing room, right? You're too much close to the outside that you kind of can't make any errors, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you start winning one, and maybe you lose a couple later on, right, or tie, whatever, but at least, like, you kind of look at the table and you're saying, well, you just win this game and kind of let the results for other games do their thing, you might be able to breathe and kind of say, you know what, now we don't have to depend on anybody. We kind of just depend on ourselves. And right now, it's one of those things where it's like, let's say we lose. Oh, well, someone from behind could win, and now we're out. And it's like, well, now we have to depend. And you don't want to. That's a very old America thing that we grew up with, where we had to depend on other teams. I have not felt like that in such a long time, but that's really how you feel right now. It's very, you win one, and all of a sudden you're ahead of all these teams, and you're kind of saying, you know what? And like I said, you know, the reason I'm not losing my mind on a lot of things is, yes, there's injuries, there's this, like, not an excuse, but it's kind of like, okay, but it's not like other teams where it's like, man, we were good last season and all of a sudden we're bad. No, well we kind of know what's the issues, right? What the issues are. Like, you're not necessarily asking Jardina to get fired. So for me, that's why I'm kind of patient with, or kind of cool with all this. But at the same time, if you look at the table and you're just like, man, if only you just win one and you jump over all these teams and we'd be cool. You get in high into the Liguilla, and that's all that really matters, right? That how you get into the Liguilla. We don't even have home field advantage technically, because we're not in our home, right? So at that point, you're not necessarily looking at it as in like, well, they have to come to the Azteca. No, they have to go to the Estadio Azul. Like, okay, you know, it's I don't know if the fan base is going to show up even in Liguilla, right? Like, maybe it's a Clásico, but you don't even know if we play like a San Luis, if we're going to in Ligue 1 or someone, right? You don't even know if they're going to show up in that stadium. So for me, I'm just looking at it as, you know what, just get in there, get in hot, and that's going to be our saving point of the season.
No, absolutely.
Or our motivation, and, you know?
Yeah. And if América was still playing at this stage, I would feel much better about this starting 11. There's something about being able to play at home that is different. And that's the thing. América has been lacking that home, right? And I spoke about it at the beginning when we were doing our preview, that this was going to be the beginning of a long, but long, long journey for América playing on the road for an entirety of a season, because you're never really going to feel at home. Whether you're playing in Toluca Stadium, whether you're playing here in the States, nothing's going to feel like home unless it's the Estadio Azteca. And the reality is we don't have that stadium for another 2 years. So, I mean, luckily it's almost the end of the year, so one more year to go, right? Still, though, it's heartbreaking to not be able to kind of have that presence of that safe, that peace of mind knowing that America is at the Estadio Azteca. Even if the fan base wasn't always showing up in numbers, but at least, you know, the presence of having the Coloso de Santa Úrsula there is just, it's different. Absolutely different. But yeah, and honestly, Chris, I'm looking here at the calendar. This is the final stretch of the season. This has to be when America picks up. This has to be when America starts kind of taking control of their own fate. And it starts off against Santos. And then afterwards, you have a tough road match against Tijuana, but a very winnable game if you plant yourself correctly. Obviously, that Monterrey game is going to kind of be the big deciding factor as to where you are. But again, a winnable game in every sense of the word. So again, it will be interesting, but I guess we'll see what happens come Saturday. And that game is going to be live via TUDN. And I think VIX as well was promoting it. That game's going to be at 6 p.m. Pacific. 6:05, actually. 6:05 p.m. Pacific, 8:05 p.m. Central, 9:05 p.m. Eastern. And yes, that game's going to be on VIX, TUDN, Univision. And I got here Football TV on my app as well. I don't know why. But, yeah, look, interesting game, interesting matchup. Really, at this point, I'm not even looking at tactics or anything or for America to play any beautiful type of soccer. Just go out there and win, you know? Get the result, get some points, start growing, start catching some form. And I guess move on to the next one.
So yeah, I mean, I looked at the schedule right now too, and you end with two teams that kind of have your number historically, right?
Yeah,
which is Toluca and Pachuca. So you have to go out there and just win, right? The good thing for us, we play Monterrey, but we were playing them home, right? I think I would be a lot more nervous if we had to go to Monterrey, because I would be looking at it like,
yeah,
well, kind of have to survive that game, and that's not what you want to do at this stage of the season with the way we're go playing, right? You don't want to look at a game and say this is a survival game. So, and that's kind of where that game would be if we played in Monterrey. And then I'm looking at Toluca and Pachuca, and I believe we play Pachuca at home, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, Pachuca at home.
Yeah, we play them at home, you know, and in the Toluca game, it's a headache going over there too, but I'm more comfortable going to Toluca and getting a result than going to Pachuca and getting a result. So, you know, and honestly, like, from away games, it looks like the Cholos game might be the more of a headache.
Yeah, that might be the most difficult one. Just, you know, playing on turf, playing up against a team that's very well composed with the way that Osorio is making them play. Yeah, it's like I said, the last stretch of the season where you think, okay, some things just have to give, and hopefully America can do so. Give me your prediction, though, for Saturday. How much optimism did you find throughout this podcast? And how much are you putting it towards Saturday's matchup?
I'm going with I want to say 1-0, but part of me feels like there is going to be a go on their side, so I'm going to go with a 2-1.
2-1.
And I think Acevedo is going to be super annoying, because I think he always has that one game of the season where he looks like he's ready to take Ochoa's spot and everyone hypes him up for exactly that, and it's always against us. So I would say 2-1, 1-0 around there.
Okay. I'm going as optimistic as I can ever be in a season like this. I'm going 2-0. 2-0. Acevedo makes a huge mistake. We capitalize on that. I think, you know, we need some goals. We need some reassurance in the back, but we also need some confidence going forward. I think a 2-0 result would absolutely do that. And I think it's doable. It's plausible. I know we talk about Santos always being a headache for America one way or another. I just think that there's a lot going on over there that there's just, it might just be enough to not get that side of Santos for once with America. But we'll see. You know, it'll be interesting. And like I said, 2-0. That's my prediction. I'm going with it. But we'll see what happens on Saturday.
Oh, it's a new season, right? That's kind of how we have to look at it right now. And we have to really win these games, right? No excuses. Yeah. Like you say it all the time. Even though there is issues, I think the player's mindset needs to be no excuses. We have to go out there and perform, you know, and whoever it is, whoever, you know, like, I really hope there is pressure on some of these players to perform and be able to go out there and,
yeah,
and look at it as their job's on the line, because I do think there's some players that kind of have to look at it like that. Not all. I think some of them are very aware that they're going to be there for a good amount of years, but we need to be more aggressive now. And I think, I hope Jardinet kind of gets that, you know, and it's funny because the game is that probably refreshed us is both wins against Chivas. One's clearly a friendly, right? Yeah. In the game in season, they refreshed us, and you know, and I do think the Campeones Cup game did set us back, because I do think they kind of not intentionally, but I do think they went in there to survive against Necaxa and the
Pumas.
Who was the Pumas, right? I do think that they it was self-sabotaging those games. Well, now there's nothing in our way, right? So now, like you said, no excuses. There's injuries, but next man up, and the next man up needs to go out there and perform. And Jardinet, hopefully, you know, sets them up for success.
Absolutely. AP Jr. going with a very, I guess, this heartwarming 1-1 lackluster game by America. Honestly, thought with the way that he was talking earlier that he was going to come out with like a 2-3-0 prediction. But hey, took me by surprise there. AP Jr. 1-1. I hope not. America needs points. we can't keep dropping them to quote unquote easy rivals. So
yeah. And we'll a tie would just keep us hanging in the wrong side of things. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
It's not winning. Can't. We win our next two, we're having a different conversation because the table would look completely different. But you need to really win those next two. You can't be no more tying or anything like that.
Yeah, you can't afford to draw points at this late stage. Like I said, we're at the final stretch of the season. You got to get it going. But all right, Chris, anything else to add on before we kind of wrap it up here?
No. We touched on everything.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree.
Oh, the Adidas. The Adidas, the rumor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have time for this. I want to make time for this. The big rumor that was offsetting in Club America world was during the international break was that America was close to finalizing a deal with Adidas. So they would be no longer signing with Nike, and that they would be heading with Adidas to potentially obviously be the new kit sponsor and the new kit maker for America, which sparked a lot of debate and a lot of conversations on Twitter. A lot of people saying that they liked the idea and that they were happy to go back to Adidas after a long 25-year spell with Nike. And some, I include myself in this next category, don't like the idea at all. They want to stay with Nike. They like Nike. So I think there was compelling arguments on both sides. I think that, you know, you brought up some very good stuff. A lot of people have brought up some great designs in regards to prior Nike shirts and all that stuff. I just think that where I was coming from in my argument was that Nike always treated America with a very good pedigree as a top club, as a big club, and they never really gave us a staple, like a just here's a template, here's what you're wearing. It is what it is. The Dominica, I always felt like there was more of an envision going forward. There was an idea. There was always some resemblance in the, at least in the past couple of designs, there was some, you know, thought in regards to why is it that we're making this design. A lot of tributes to prior jerseys. So a lot of things that I think Nike was doing right is what I fear Adidas is going to get wrong with America in regards to not giving us that same treatment. But again, I could be wrong. I mean, if Adidas is looking to buy our rights to be, you know, to be the shirt sponsor, I would feel like they would come in with the same intentions. But I don't know, Chris. I don't know.
So let me ask you this from a business side, right? Because what I've seen is that America kind of took away the offer that was for the league, right? Where they were going to dress code them, you know, uniform for everybody in the league, just like they do in MLS. That it was originally for the league. America basically said, you know, I would like that offer. And it was a lot of money. And that America said, you know what? It's a lot of money. I'd rather have it than to kind of split it with the rest of the league.
Yeah.
From that standpoint, right? From a business standpoint, you hate it?
No.
Or is it just simply like
no.
traditional stuff?
No, from a business standpoint, if they're willing to fork up a huge amount of money, by all means, you'd be stupid enough not to take it. It's exactly what happened with Manchester United with Adidas and Nike, right? Nike was the sole provider for Manchester United, and then Adidas came in with a record-breaking amount of money to switch over to buy the rights to be their suppliers for the kit. And we're talking huge money. And obviously, at the time, United needed the money just as much as anyone would. So from that business standpoint, if Adidas is coming in with a very lucrative contract and they're offering, I mean, I'm just going to throw out a number out there that would seem preposterous, but maybe they are throwing this number, right? What if they're throwing $100 million at America, right? They're saying, ditch Nike, come with us. Here's $100 million. Yes, 100%. Do it. Take it. At that point, it doesn't matter. Obviously, I have my preference, right? But from
you would assume it's a big number, right? Because
yeah.
it was a league offer. It was to be the sponsor of the league and basically dress everyone. Dress everyone, actually. Same thing as MLS, right?
Yeah.
And while the league is trying to get into the MLS type of business, because let's be honest, from a business standpoint, it makes sense to not have relegation and not have all that stuff, because MLS is, if we're talking about value, those clubs are up there with all the European clubs, right?
Yeah.
So let's say Adidas was trying to offer something similar to that. I mean, if America got the same exact deal, we're talking huge numbers, right? Huge yeah. numbers, and we'd be stupid, like you said, to reject that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But if it's just kind of like the same amount of money from what Nike's offering, because obviously the contracts with Nike's running up. So America needs to make a decision as to whether or not. Look, I hear a lot of people saying that America's deal with Nike is over and that automatically. I think America's deal is over contract-wise, is running out, but I think Nike still is going to suit us up next season. And after next season is when the new contract for Nike or Adidas would kick in.
What I also read is that Nike's getting out of the club business and just focusing on national team, which I don't necessarily fully believe, because I think they're most likely making good money.
Yeah, that would
they're be, making good money off a club, right? So
yeah, I don't think that would be a smart business move on their end. But no, the reality is, look, Nike's been making good money with America, even when sales were at an all time low for just clubs in general during the pandemic. Nike sold a very good amount of America jerseys. America's always been a very good investment as far as Nike's concerned is. 25 years of seen some very good numbers with America. So I don't know. We'll see. At the end of the day, it's going to be who's throwing out the bigger cash. I would assume that, you know, Nike hears about these Adidas rumors and maybe ups the contract. I wouldn't say by a lot. Obviously, if I'm Adidas coming in with $100 million, Nike's not going to be like, oh, I'm going to offer you $100 also. But we'll see. We'll see what the final word is. It blew up in one day and just died out the next. We didn't really hear much after that. So it'll be interesting. I mean,
I seen on TV, they kind of broke it down, and that's, I just read, they just said, like, basically, you know, now again, whether it's reliable source or not, because even Fox and all that, they're not that.
Fox is the most non, don't never trust Fox on anything.
But it's in general, like, you kind of see some journalists just speak out of their butt, and basically they said was, look, yeah, basically what they said is the offer, and we you and I, we spoke about this rumor of the whole league getting a uniform. Basically, it's a uniform, right? Everyone is getting sponsored by the same shirt, right? It was going to be Adidas for the whole league, and there was a conversation that came up. And you and I had a debate about that because it was just the whole merger talk and all that. And basically what they're saying is it's the same offer that was gonna be for the league, but America basically said, you know what? We're interested if you guys just suit up with us, because I guess there was a disagreement with other clubs that were kind of saying we make too much money with this sponsor, which is like Charlie or Peterman or stuff like that. We make too much money with them that it just wouldn't make sense to coach. Yeah. And they also look at it from our fan base probably can't afford, because we're a smaller fan base, we can't afford a Adidas kit for our fans, right? So we go with our cheaper option where we're making money. And so I guess America technically said, you know what, we're interested. If our contract is running out with Nike, we're interested. No, now, whether it's true or not, we're going to find out. Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, they're probably like, hey, they'll buy it. You know, our family is gonna buy it. And
yeah,
that's supposedly that's how all that came up. Well, we're gonna see. I don't mind it, but I guess it's because a lot of people are arguing the home kits, right? And for me, I have always been a fan of their collections, right? Whenever they drop, it's not just like the home kit, because I get it from what people say, template and all that. But I've been a fan of their like third kits, right, or their away kits too, right, for other teams and their collections. I don't know if you've seen the Tigres one that they dropped recently. Like, I'm a fan of for example. Or their Colombia one that they dropped recently, too. Their Colombia kit.
Yeah.
A lot of people are liking it. A lot of people are not. Like, I'm a fan of their collection. That's where but I get the counter argument saying, but they're very boring, you know. And I guess it's a preference thing, whether you like boring or you like, you know, crazier designs. You know, hopefully they don't disappoint us, right? Because then we're going to kind of say, well, we're boring. We're not a boring club. Don't be boring.
No, absolutely. But like at the end of the day, like you mentioned it's going to come down to the finances and what kind of money and you know, what kind of money they're willing to splash on us. And we'll see in regards to that sense. But look, we've stretched this far enough and I don't want to take more people's time in regards to this. But yeah, a lot of interesting stuff. Just make sure you guys follow us over on Instagram and Twitter at EY Podcast. We'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas de la América, as AJ is doing right now at this moment, as the ladies are playing against San Diego Wave in the CONCACAF Champions Cup for the women's. Which
is it in San Diego?
It is in San Diego. So interesting stuff.
Well, I saw AJ laugh at the put sand. Instead of San, it put San Diego. I was just laughing for a good minute when you corrected him. He's like, sand.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The English admin is still questionable for America. But yeah, I guess that's it. I hope you guys have enjoyed the podcast. Chris, thank you so much for taking out the time and talking all things Club America with me.
Always, brother. Always.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week to talk all things Club America. Keep you guys up to date with what's going on with the continuing hospital list, and hopefully that list continues to dwindle down a little bit and give us a little bit of hope and ambition that this team can go just that much further and win that oh-so-coveted tricampeonato that we've been talking about all season long. But hey, With that said, you guys have a wonderful night. Take care. And as always, Arriba America. Good night.